Christ and friends of Bethlehem, once more we heard today of this small sentence in our gospel reading, that Jesus came to save the lost. It's a simple statement, but it happens to be a very important statement. It's God's own mission statement. Jesus didn't come to make us better, more moral, better citizens. He came to raise the dead. He came to save us from death and sin and hell forever. That's his mission. That's his purpose. And he lifts up how we can live out that mission with him by innocently and gladly and eagerly following him as if we were children. And I was thinking about that today, and that's really true for us at this church here at Bethlehem, and for all churches. What is our mission as we follow Jesus on his mission as he saves the lost? So I wanted to take today and maybe the next few weeks to kind of think about that, because we are everyday missionaries, believe it or not. However, I've been now your new pastor for a little over 6 months, and I've seen the world basically turn upside down. And I think now, more than ever, it's important for our church, as well as all churches in our community, to kind of rethink what we're all about. Right now is a great time to be the church. Right now it's a great time to be Christians, believe it or not. Even when you see the world around us burning, it's great because we have this unique opportunity at our fingertips to help other people grow closer to God as we grow closer as families. It's a great time to be the church. It's a great time for us to think about our purpose. One thing that was important, way back in December, when I was going through an interview process before you guys decided who would be your next pastor, I posed this big kind of question for our interviewees. And if you were there, you can remember. It kind of shook us up. The question I posed was if Bethlehem Lutheran Church wasn't around, but never existed, who would miss us? Think of that. If this place where we gather for worship on this corner here in Wales, Wisconsin, never was here, would it make a difference? What would the world miss if we weren't here? So that makes us question another question. Who are we? That was something I wanted for us to kind of develop over the next few years as I kind of gained your trust and I got to know the members, but 2020 threw all those plans out the window. Now is a great time to think of who we are. And thankfully, there's a lot of members that came up to me in my first few weeks, my first few months, and kind of helped shape that. One of those is one of our members, David Sarandos. He has done some work with a lot of you guys in the past. Another representative of our church that has helped me kind of understand our long-range planning. So I want to bring him up today. This is going to be unique. Normally you see a pastor being the only guy proclaiming the word, as you should. However, we are all the priesthood of all believers. So David and I have been meeting the last few weeks, and we have some thoughts on what does it mean for us to be the church, and to help answer us as Bethlehem, who are we? So, David, thank you for again coming back up. Who do you think we are?
Yeah, as Pastor alluded to, part of what we did last year, and many of you were in the pews when I got up in front of you, and we were trying to establish some sort of direction in the vacancy that we had. We had no pastor, but we still had to fulfill God's mission here in Wales, right? And I got up in front of you and we talked about what we needed to do as people of God and how we needed to be ready for what God is calling us to do. So as the appointed leader in that process, Let me point out a few things, give you some context for maybe some of you who weren't with us. This is a continuation of a process that was started in 2019 with the board of directors and the board of elders as the leaders in that movement, in that process. We invited everybody in the congregation, right, as a family to come forward and be a part of this process if they chose. And we tried to stay in communication and give you updates. When Pastor was called here and he accepted the call, one of the things that I wanted to do personally was hear from him what he saw God called him to do here amongst his people. And so the challenge became, how do we take what we did in 2019, because we felt and heard God's calling for us at that time, and kind of mesh it with what Pastor Burst was called to do here at Bethlehem. And so I've been meeting with him in the past 8 to 10 weeks, right?
Hasn't been that long. It doesn't feel that long.
It doesn't. And these have been one-on-one sessions that we've just, you know, freestyle talked about the mission of God in general and the mission for us here at Bethlehem. And so we talked a little bit about who are we, because we both felt like that was the starting point for going on mission. Pastor had read a book, and he shared it with me, and I've read that book now, and he's going to, you know, go into more detail over the coming weeks about that book, Life on Mission, and talk about generally who we are as Christians, and specifically who we are as Christians at Bethlehem Lutheran in the Wales community.
So yeah,
what do you see as when you came here? You were new to us, and so is a great perspective, right, about who Bethlehem is. Tell us what you saw.
Yeah, think about that. That question again, who are we? It has changed. Not just in 2020, but over a long time. This church, even though we're in a relatively new, beautiful worship space built in 2004, our church is actually founded in 1906. We've been around for a long time. Originally, a little bit further up the road, we were a group of ethnic immigrants, Germans, Welsh, English people, farmers, tradesmen, young families that really needed a place to worship. There wasn't any churches. And so one was founded in Wales. Over the time, the culture has changed. People have shifted. And generally speaking, churches were always a church. We did what churches do, right? We didn't need a mission statement. But again, the world changed in 2020, sometimes even without our even doing. So we need a mission. We need a purpose again. We need to reset what we're all about. And it's been unique because I think out of all the new people, it's kind of fun when you're the new guy in a church and you get to look in with fresh eyes. Sort of like when you go into a new house, you kind of notice all the things that the people that live there have forgotten about. You can kind of see all the little things. What I see out of Bethlehem is that we have been doing God's mission all along. We just need to put a label, a name to it. We need to remember that God is still good. And he's still working through us. So specifically, we are more than just a church. We're out to do something even more. We can kind of remember that today. So to help us kind of answer this specific question on who we are, we have to kind of get back to thinking, put our thinking caps on.
The Greek philosopher Socrates, one of his quotes is, "An unexamined life is not worth living," meaning periodically, it's good for us as humans to look at ourselves honestly and take inventory of who we are, what we've been, and what our purpose is. And it's the same for us as Christians in the mission of God. It's very valuable to us to periodically look at ourselves honestly, take inventory, and determine where we've been successful and then where we have fallen short and what God is calling us to do.
So in our initial meetings, David and I would go through some books to kind of help us think about that, and a few of that we've exchanged really looked at some major statistics, both from church-going people and people that didn't really have a care about the institutional church. And David had some more interesting thoughts about that today.
Yeah, this is a little bit about the way God can work in our lives. I was reading a book called The Hole in Our Gospel, authored by Richard Stearns, who at the time was the president of World Vision, the Christian organization that helps the poor throughout the world. And he wrote this book in 2010, and it came to me just by a family member. And I picked it up and started reading it and was enthralled with his message, which was that we as a Christian church are falling short in the mission of God. There's a hole in our gospel. And the hole is that we don't fulfill the mission. We know in our heads what God calls us to do, but in our hearts, we aren't carrying out that message. At the end of that book, Richard Stearns quotes a book called Unchristian, which was written in 2007. And in Unchristian, Richard Stearns reveals some statistics that the Barna Research Group had compiled in 2007 about our culture, our generation, and Christianity as a whole. And it's quite enlightening. It can be disturbing, but it's honest and it's real. And it's information that we have to pay attention to as Christians. The culture has changed, like Pastor shared. And a little bit about the research that the Barna Group did. These are people that they interviewed, and they're called Mosaics and Busters. That's what they call them in the book. It's an age group that you are probably familiar with. Maybe it's some of your children. It's two of my adult children. Maybe it's your grandkids. Maybe it's coworkers. Maybe it's your neighbors. But these are people born between 1965 and 2002. As a whole, these people are very skeptical. They like to challenge the rules. Relationships are really, really important to this group, to these young people. And so every decision they make and everything important in their lives, they filter through their friendships and their friends. They don't like to be told what to do. They like to experience what to do. Mindset is incredibly savvy and unusually jaded. And they have very diverse lifestyles when compared to older generations in terms of their education and their career choices, their family, their values, and their leisure time. Very different from the older generations. And we could sit there and say, well, that's just a generational difference, right? That's just how it is. But we need to, again, look at ourselves as Christians honestly and take inventory. Because what we're about to show you is very, very revealing. They call these people outsiders in the Barna Research. Those looking at the Christian faith from the outside, and again, maybe you know some of these people. They include atheists, agnostics, other faith, and other unchurched individuals. What they discovered in the interviewing is that many of these people have been to church, have been to Christian churches, They've grown up in churches. My two kids grew up in the church. Currently don't attend right now. I feel like they believe in God and Jesus, but they don't have a real relationship. And maybe you have kids like that or grandkids, or maybe you know some people in that age group that are like that.
So as we again follow Jesus' mission to save the lost, as our gospel reminds us, as we think of this question, who we are as a church, we have to start by not by what we say who we are, but by what the world says we are, and kind of understand where they're coming from. So there are some statistics that kind of help us out and kind of guide us to see if we're known for what we're for or if we're known for what we're against.
They interviewed 440 of these outsiders, and they interviewed 305 church-going Christians in that age group. These are the numbers that they come up with. Statistically, that's a great evaluation. 400 is a good number. It tells a truth. The perception of outsiders of us as Christians is that we're anti-homosexual. 91% say we're anti-homosexual. 87% say we're judgmental. 85% say we're hypocritical, meaning we say one thing, but we do another. That's hard to take that truth. And that's their perception of us. And you could say, well, that's just them again, but it's not. It's our problem, because we have caused that perception by the things we have done, the things we have said, or the things we've left undone in the mission of God. The other categories you see there are not very flattering. We're out of touch with reality, we're insensitive, boring, not accepting of other faiths, and we're confusing as a group to these outsiders.
Again, this survey wasn't done this last year. This was already 10 years ago. Think of how these numbers have maybe changed, probably for the more. And again, these aren't just a us versus they kind of mentality. These are people in our own families, maybe that have been disenfranchised, kind of burned by the church. So again, who are we? Well, this is what the world thinks of the institutional church, you could say. And this is maybe going to be important to us to help us answer this. That was what they said.
What did the churchgoers say in that age group?
We're the churchgoers, right? This includes people that have been here kind of hit or miss, but church nonetheless. And again, a large number of people polled.
The number for anti-homosexual is very similar, isn't it? 80% of churchgoers would say that we as Christians are anti-homosexual. Look at the judgmental number. Only 52% churchgoers say that we're judgmental, but 87% of the outsiders say we're judgmental. There's a disparity. What does that tell us? Maybe that we're fooling ourselves, right? That we're not being honest with ourselves. That we actually think we're not judgmental, or that we think we're not hypocritical. We think we're not out of touch. We don't think we're insensitive. We don't think we're boring. But the outside perception is the opposite. Those are the things to pay attention to. Those are the things we need to look at and say, pray about and say, God, help us with this. We need your grace and mercy in our lives. We come to a realization, an understanding now, an awareness that we have fallen short in our sinfulness in carrying out your mission. Because those outsiders are the people that we're supposed to carry the gospel message to, isn't it, Pastor?
Our current mission statement, we're faithful to Jesus, and we're ready to reach out to everyone.
We can't ignore them. And we could just say, well, yeah, that's them. I'm saved. I know Jesus. I'm good. Salvation is great. Hooray, hooray. But that's not what Jesus came to do, right? We heard that this morning. Jesus came to save the lost. And the vehicle to carry that message to the lost is all of us. What have we been doing? What have we been saying to give an impression, a perception like that? What have we not done that would carry a perception to people when they look at us and they say, he's out of touch. He's old-fashioned. He doesn't accept anything other than Jesus. And please don't get us wrong. We're not condoning homosexuality. We're not condoning the sins of being hypocritical and judgmental. We're pointing out that we have fallen short in that. And because of that, this is how we are viewed. And this is who we are to the world.
So again, looking at these lists, this is the point where we feel convicted by the law, right? None of us like to be called old-fashioned or boring. I don't. But maybe think about how we maybe give that impression. Now, you might also say, it's not always about impression, but sometimes people, what they perceive can be reality. And it's important as a Christian witness for the people that seek relationships is that we don't cut off a conversation before it starts. This year especially, being in a big election year, how many of us maybe being too involved in politics? Does that cut us off from a conversation with somebody that might not agree with our values, our ideas? Democrats and Republicans are just as worthy of hearing God's word. But we have to open that door. So think of all these things. And maybe think of how they have come up already all together in 1 year. But again, there's hope. Again, we are talking about the children of God being the greatest in the kingdom of heaven because they're innocent. They welcome conversations readily. For as an adult, do we? So again, we say what's right and wrong. We part of answering who we are is grounded in our theology, what we believe. We are a biblical, God-fearing congregation, a group of people that has the Word of God as paramount. We call right and wrong what they should. But again, we start not by what we're against, but what we're for. That's what Jesus does. Yes, he calls sin, sin, but he does so out of loving kindness. Yes, God does judge. And yes, we are called to judge one another, to lift us up by one another, but by being forgiving. See how that changes when we're being known for what we're for rather than what we're against?
Yeah,
what does that tell you, David?
We've been perceived badly by today's culture, right? We've been defined by the things we're against. How do we go about changing that perception? How do we change our approach? Remember when Jesus was on earth as human, he did things. He healed the sick, gave sight to the blind. He served and was compassionate with those who were suffering. How are we doing with that? I'm not suggesting we are capable of miracles because that's God's realm, but when we make ourselves available to God to be used in a way that would serve the gay community, or we can serve people that we're not comfortable with, that we don't agree with, How does that change the perception of who we are when we make ourselves available to that? Jesus hung out with the sinners, the downtrodden, the sick. Have we maybe become too sheltered in our churches and we just gather in our huddles on Sunday morning and then we go back to our job and come back the next Sunday and do it all over again? Or do we go out into the community and actually lend a hand where somebody is suffering and needs help? That's what Jesus did. That's what God's grace is all about. And if we don't do those things, we've cheapened God's grace. We've made it insignificant because he called us to do those very things. Remember at the Last Supper, his command to his disciples was, I came to serve. And we should ask ourselves, how are we serving? And so we go back to that question, who are we? And it's quite sobering to hear that. When I first read this, I was like, that can't be true. But it is. It is reality. The culture has changed, and it's going to continue to change. Those books and those statistics are 10 years old now. And probably the disparity's even gotten wider for us. But our hope, we have a great God. Amen? He provides the grace, and he provides the opportunity, and he even provides the power in our lives to change things and people. That's what God can do if we make ourselves available and we give him opportunity to use us to carry the gospel.
So again, who are we? Yes, we're a church. Yes, we gather a few times a week to worship. But specifically, who are we? We are people, followers of Jesus, and because we are called Christians after Christ himself, we are those same attributes of Christ. We follow after his example. So again, let's look at those. Today, despite the things we've been told wrong in the world, even about ourselves, we remember and we are hopeful about maybe inviting family members, friends, or neighbors to do things at church with us, all because of Christ. Christ was loving to you when you and I didn't deserve it. Christ is forgiving to us when we don't deserve it. And he's genuine about it. He will gladly open his ears when we come to pray. And that's why we can be open to letting people tell us their stories, even if they're the worst of all sinners. We're genuine about our faith. Because Jesus is genuine with us and with you. And in a world that's maybe too involved in politics, Jesus is involved in your life, in your family. Even though we might be looked at by others as being unaware or old-fashioned, we have the supreme privilege today, 2020, to change that perception by actually caring. Actually being willing to listen and being truthful about what we still believe amidst it all. Because that's what Jesus is. And that's what Jesus does. And that's how Jesus, as we read, seeks and saves the lost. Not by going out on a mission trip, but by sitting down with sinners and taking time. Because they're not just people out to be won, they're people. And we have people in our lives like that too. So think about that today as we answer this. As a church, specifically, who we are. How do we serve one another? How do we shine that light of Christ? How do we share that word of hope? And again, specifically, I think as a newcomer, I see that actually happening already here at Bethlehem. Jesus is already doing his work. We're just going to join him this year and the years ahead. That's the hope we cling to. So again, specifically, we've talked a lot about this. What we're for, not for what we're always against, but what we're for is we acknowledge that, yes, we are all sinful people, but we are also saved by God and given the freedom to worship him in the truth of Scripture. We are aware of our condition. We are aware of the needs of our community, and we're ready to listen and be of help. So maybe we can start there, but the conversation is going to continue. So next week, and we're going to hear a little bit more about what our mission should and can be. And in the weeks to follow, not just David, but other members, key members that have done work in our church, will give a voice of maybe what has happened already in the past and how we can look towards the future. So again, thank you, David, for helping us be a little bit more enlightened about what God is already doing as we are people on his mission.